There's going to be a lot of scripture woven throughout what I have to share today. His word is interwoven in my heart, and I really can't separate it from my thinking. And so when I write, his words come through, his love letters to us that have become part of my soul, my mind. And so I'm going to do my best to share those scriptures, but if you visit the blog, I'll have them all up there. So if you wanted to study them after today. I shared with Pastor Lisa that I've spent hours preparing for this talk, but really I've spent years walking out the truth that I have here that I want to share. I still stand in awe of God. I think so often how the depth of his love, and how if we were to comprehend and truly understand, that we would be filled with his fullness, and that we would watch him do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think by that power that's working in us. And I do stand in awe and wonder. That is God. I wrote this without a title, but I knew I wanted it to be about grace, and I just couldn't even help myself as I was writing it to be in awe, and I just thought, you know, wondrous grace. That's what our talk is going to be about today, is wondrous grace. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his spirit, deeply and gently within us. I know this verse well out of Ephesians 3, and I still long to see it a reality in my life. For a long time, for a very long time, for most of my saved life, actually 15 years of it, I walked around carrying heavy shame. I didn't know it was shame at the time, but I had this desire to please God and do all the right things, and knowing every day I felt so short of him. Then I would allow that shame to keep me from coming to God, from approaching God. And that truly was the most painful part. You see, I know what I'm supposed to do as a child of God. I know I've been taught, I've studied, and in my mind I was carried around this list of expectations, but that list became my law and my shame when I fell short of that list. I have a very clear idea of what I'm supposed to do as a follower of Christ. I know to pray without ceasing, praise in the hard times, worship in spirit and truth even when I don't feel like it. Have quiet time every day, even though in my house there's loud noises. Lots of them. And then the days pass by so quickly, and you thought, the day is gone and I haven't even sat at your feet, Lord. I'm to study and show myself approved while I am still learning grammar and relearning U.S. history as a homeschool mama, teaching phonics and fractions. And walk in love so my life isn't just making noise. And walk in the fruit of the Spirit, which actually includes gentleness, which hasn't come in large doses for me. Be angry and not sin. And I actually wrote that out 3 times. Be angry and not sin. Be angry and not sin. How about come to church without a church face? Yet I'm guarded, worried about friendly fire. I'm to keep the house orderly and be a good steward while I have a toddler tornado in the flesh. I'm to train children to be followers of Christ while I am still learning my way. And God forbid that they only remember the unsanctified parts of me. I'm supposed to tell my neighbors and the cashier at the grocery store about Jesus' love. And I can't leave out healthy eating and exercise. For we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And in order to run this race, we need physical endurance as well as spiritual. And I'm sure that you have your own list of what you should be doing. I know what I'm supposed to do, yet I get it wrong more times than I would like. I'm still insecure at times, and I wonder why some people, what they say about me still has such a heavy effect. I don't always know my way, and I'm still finding my place, as feeling out of place was always quite normal for me. Sometimes I stumble when I should have firm footing. Sometimes I fear when I should have boldness. And sometimes I hurt and I cry when I really should just let it go. And sometimes I feel so completely inadequate when I'm supposed to stand confident. And sometimes I still yell at my kids. Sometimes I show less than respect and honor to my husband. I'm still learning to walk out my days. I'm still learning this walk of grace. My house is less than tidy and more than dirty, and I still panic at 5 p.m. realizing that I have not thought about dinner. And we do all have our own struggles, don't we? But the question that had brought me to my knees more Monday mornings than I could count, after I fell so short of my Sunday morning commitment to God, saying, "This time, God, I'll do it. This time, God, I won't fail you." Not knowing the answer left me downtrodden and with a failing spirit. And the question was, how? I know what I'm supposed to do, but how do I do it? How do we overcome all our struggles? How do we do all these things that we know we're supposed to do? How do we walk in a manner of worthy of the call of God? And how do we even want to do all those things? For me, I ask, how do I not lash out against my kids when I've reached the threshold of impatience and crossed over into exasperation? How do I homeschool and keep up with the housework and honor husband and find time for God and find time for myself? How do I find peace in the middle of the chaos? How do I find the beautiful and the ugly? And how do I actually enjoy life in the process? How do I come out of hiding and not fear what others can do to me, what they can do with my heart? How do we live for God, follow His ways, and walk as Jesus walked, even while we are walking out our struggles? And I found the truth of it. And the truth is that we can't. None of us, not without His help. And yet for those 15 years, I endeavored in my own failing strength until I came out of a dark place and found the place where the Son of God shines and grace pours like rain only 3 short years ago. And I began to learn how, and I began to embrace how. He gives us everything we need for life and for holy living. He gives it through His great power as we come to know Him better. 2 Peter 1:3. For His divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are suited to life and godliness through the full personal knowledge of Him, which is the same scripture in the Amplified Version. Remember His Spirit deeply and gently working within us, that same Spirit, that same powerful Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. You see these scriptures here? They call me not to try harder, but to cease from striving and just seek to know Him. If trying harder was the key to victorious living and joy in Christ, then why don't you and I have more joy and more strength? We are to be filled with the Spirit of God, be permeated with the Spirit of God. If God's Spirit permeates our life, there is no place that He is not, no area of our life that He is not. And we cannot even do this for ourselves. We must allow the Spirit of God to permeate us, to fill our lives, and not just on one occasion, and not just one time, but continuously, whenever it is now, that we allow the Spirit of God to permeate our life. And all of the other things come up as a result.